To his surprise, she wrapped both arms around him and squeezed him tightly. She kissed him on the cheek.
"I'm so sorry," she said. "I should have believed you. Shawcross is responsible for Dave's death. We should never have blamed you."
Nick eased her away. There wasn't time for apologies, or any need of them either. "It's okay," he said. "No harm done. Just promise to trust me from now on."
"I promise."
He cleared his throat and looked around. He was accompanied by Renee, Annalisa, Cassie, Eve, and Pauline. A table in the middle of the room was piled with makeshift weapons. He picked up a replica hunting rifle that had been cut loose from the laser shooting gallery at the Midway area. It would make a good club, and had also received the modification of a 9-inch nail wedged into the barrel, an excellent bayonet in tight circumstances.
"Good thing one of the weapons stashes is here in the restaurant."
The rest of the group armed up too. Then they all stood in a loose huddle, staring at one another apprehensively. Cassie looked the most nervous and was clutching a sharp blade against her chest.
"So, just fill me in one last time," said Nick. "Shawcross has Dash with him, and they are going around killing people?"
"Alan is with them too," said Pauline. "Maybe Jan and Michelle as well."
"Shawcross has this crazy idea," Annalisa explained, "that the group's chance of survival will be better if there are fewer of us. He's found the park's greenhouse facility and has stockpiled all of our supplies there. Apparently, there's not enough to sustain us all."
"So the crazy son of a bitch is trying to...
what?
Cull us? Jesus."
Crunch. The group turned towards the open window as the sound of cracking glass and shattering plates came from outside. Someone had breached the minefield.
"They're here," said Annalisa, holding up the butcher's knife she clutched tightly in her hand.
"Everyone, keep quiet," said Nick, "and get down."
The group took cover behind the bar and the various tables lying around. Then they waited. Minutes passed. Nothing. Nick peered over the top of the bar and made eye contact with Annalisa, who was perched behind an upturned table. It was clear from her expression that she was as tense as he was.
"What are they doing out there?" he asked himself. "Why are they not trying to come inside?"
"They're planning something." Something came flying through the open window and thudded on the floor. Whatever it was rolled a few meters and then came to a stop in the middle of the restaurant. It was a head, but it was not human. Annalisa moaned out loud as she looked down at the severed head.
"Lily! You bastards!"
Nick looked down at the orangutan head and could not believe it. Was Shawcross really that twisted?
"We've killed your precious friend, Anna,"
came Shawcross's nasally voice from outside.
"And if you don't surrender now, we will systematically kill every animal in the petting zoo."
Annalisa shook her head and began crying. Nick could see that the threat would not work on her, would not make her give up, but it was upsetting her a great deal. It upset him, too.
"You'll kill them anyway," she shouted back, "so don't take me for a fool."
"That's the last thing I'd take you for," said Shawcross. "You're a smart, rational person, so if you come out peacefully, I will rethink things and let you live."
"Whether I live or die is not your choice, Shawcross. You are not God."
There was laughter from outside.
"No, you're right. I am not God. God is impotent. God is idle. God is inaction. I am better than him. I am ambition. I am leadership. I am survival. I am..."
"You are batshit crazy," Nick shouted. "That's what you are. Nothing but a run-of-the-mill nutcase with delusions of grandeur and a messiah complex. You're a fucking cliché, mate."
"Ah, Nick, is that you? I take it that our darling sweet Anna has released you from your penance. Just another transgression that she will later come to regret."
"He's talking like a raving lunatic. I must have damaged his brain when I punched him."
"Just give this up, Shawcross," Nick shouted over the bar. "You're not hurting anybody else tonight."
"I beg to differ."
There was silence for a while. Nick again made eye contact with Annalisa as the two of them tried to figure out what was happening outside.
I don't like this. We need to see what's going on.
Eve moved away from her position by the soda fountain and came and joined him at the bar.
Do you smell that? She said.
Nick could indeed smell it. Petrol had begun pouring through the open window, pooling on the wooden floor of the restaurant. Pauline and Cassie realized what was happening and looked at Nick with fear in their eyes.
Come out,
Shawcross demanded,
or I'll burn you out.
No, said Nick, you won't.
Do not test my resolve.
You won't do it, said Nick, because if you do, you'll be as screwed as we are.
And why is that?
Shawcross shouted from outside.
Because you've seen as well as I have that fire attracts them. You set fire to this restaurant and you bring a shitload of death up that hill. The dead and infected would be up here within the hour, not to mention the fact that you could end up incinerating the whole park.
There was silence outside. Nick knew that, of all things, Shawcross was a careful man. He was a planner above all else. He was not about to set fire to one of his biggest assets.
I think you need to find a plan B, said Nick. And if it involves you coming anywhere near us, I'm going to kill you. Understood?
You'll regret this, Nick.
Not before you do.
There were sounds of discussion coming from outside, heated and irritable. It was obvious that they had been forced to rethink.
What do you think they're doing? Eve asked him.
He shrugged. I don't know, but we're sitting ducks in here. Sooner or later they'll come up with a plan to get us out, or kill us where we stand.
What do you suggest?
Nick thought about it for a moment. I think we should leave here, but on our terms, not theirs. Annalisa headed over, and Cassie and Pauline took suit and followed after her. They all huddled behind the bar.
What do you mean we should leave? Annalisa said. Aren't we safe in here?
Yeah, for now. But eventually they'll come up with something smarter. All we're doing at the moment is giving them time to think. I say we hit back now, when they least expect it.
Oh, bloody hell, said Pauline. I don't like the sound of that.
Me either, said Cassie.
And you're right not to like the sound of it. It's dangerous and could get us killed. But what choice do we have? They put us in this position. Are we going to let them win? After surviving for this long, after all that we've been through, are we really going to let an arrogant pig like Shawcross determine our fate?
Hell fucking no, said Eve.
Maybe we should just surrender, said Cassie. They haven't tried to hurt me or Pauline. Eve might be safe as well.
Nick shook his head. You can do whatever you want, Cassie. No one is forcing you to do anything. But Dash might do, if you join up with them. Remember when Dash tried to force you to do things that you didn't want to do? Cassie's eyes brimmed with tears in the candlelight.
That's not fair.
No, it's not. And neither is you refusing to pick a side. It's time for you to shit or get off the pot, Cassie. You have to pick a side, right now. Go out and join them or stay here with us. Once you pick, though, that's it. No more playing it safe. This is about survival, not just about tonight, but for whatever comes next. It's time to evolve, people. Cassie wavered for a moment, turning towards the window and then back towards Nick. Eventually she sighed, her shoulders dropping.
Okay, I'm with you guys.
Glad to have you, said Nick. So, how do we get out of here without them seeing us? Annalisa asked. If we try to funnel out the window, they'll pick us off easy. Nick rubbed his forehead and formulated a plan quickly. We deal with Shawcross the same way we dealt with those brain-dead zombies at the bottom of the hill, he said. We distract him. Chapter 40 20 minutes later, Nick watched Annalisa stroll over to the middle of the room and crouch down beside the severed orangutan head. It was a tragic thing that even the park's animals had been dragged into Shawcross's megalomania.
We'll make him pay for Lily, Nick said as he knelt down beside Annalisa.
He rubbed her shoulders.
No need, Annalisa told him. This isn't Lily.
What?
It's an orangutan, isn't it?
Yes, but it's not her. This is Brick. Nick frowned.
Brick?
Lily's mate. He died when all this started. They obviously cut off his head to mess with me, make me think it was Lily.
Nick straightened up and sighed.
Shawcross has lost his mind. What is he even fighting for?
The self-esteem he's always lacked, Annalisa said, straightening up beside him. He was a worthless little wretch before all this. This is his chance to finally be somebody. He's starting as he means to go on. Power is not given, it's taken. That's truer now than it's ever been.
Then I guess it's time to go to war, said Nick. We're all clear on the plan. Does anybody need to go over it again?
Everybody said no. Rene just shook his head.
Nick got a good grip on the replica rifle with the nail in the end and took a deep breath.
Let's do this then.
Rene handed Nick the bundle of keys he had found days ago beneath the bar. Nick was counting on one of the keys unlocking the hatch in the cellar. The rear of the building led out into a fenced-off yard that had not been barricaded or even paid much mind. It had been secure when the group arrived, so there had been no need to alter it, which was why Nick was sure that it would offer a clear route out of the building without Shawcross seeing. He bid the others goodbye and headed back down into the cellar. Draped over a two-wheel keg trolley was his black woolen jacket. He tugged it on and pulled it over his shoulders. It would help him blend in with the night. Heart beating fast, he climbed up the rear stairs and came up against the horizontal hatch. He examined the steel lock that fixed the door to the frame and then looked at the keys in his hand. There was a medium-length key that seemed to be made of a similar tarnished grey metal as the hatch. He singled it out and inserted it into the lock. It was a relief when it turned easily.
Let's hope the rest of the plan goes as easily.
Nick moved his hands about the hatch, trying to figure out its workings without making too much noise. He discovered that it slid upwards on railings, and he gently eased it back on its moorings. The hatch was open. He climbed through. The night seemed to flood over Nick like a living creature, a cold black mollusk clinging to his skin.
Glad I remembered my jacket, he thought, as he climbed out into the fenced-off yard of the restaurant.
He searched around and located a large industrial wheelie bin. It was the perfect height for helping him over the fence. He quickly climbed on top of it, then eased himself down and over the top of the nearest fence. He dropped down on the other side and winced as his feet struck the unforgiving pavement.
I'm going to need a new pair of ankles after all this.
He was at the side of the restaurant towards the rear. He could hear Shawcross and his cronies conspiring nearby, but they were out of sight, which hopefully meant that so was he.
Got to keep it down.
He crept away from the voices and headed around the back of the building. If his plan was going to work, then he needed to put some distance between him and Shawcross before things played out. Coming up on his left was the park's roller coaster, the Hood. Its walled-off surroundings would provide good cover for what he was about to do. There was a heavy bin nearby, and Nick ran towards it. He hefted his foot in the air and knocked it clean over. The lid came loose and spun across the pavement. It made an almighty clatter.
Shit! Nick shouted. Come on, they'll hear us! Run!
He quickly hopped over the waist-high fence that surrounded the queuing area for the Hood, and then crouched down beneath the elevated steel tracks.
They've escaped,
Shawcross shouted in the distance.
Come on, I hear them over there.
Nick hid behind a support pillar and listened to the footfalls of his pursuers get nearer.
You're a dead man,
Dash shouted. It really was him. Somehow he had survived being pushed out of a cable car hundreds of feet above the ground.
You're supposed to be the dead man, Nick shouted back. I watched you die, blood. Can't kill me, gangster. I took that fall like it was nothing. Hit a dozen branches on the way down, but I walked that shit off. I lost my eye, though, and somebody needs to pay for that. You tell Jan he's got it coming, too.
Jan isn't with them? Then where the hell is he?
He's inside the roller coaster enclosure,
Shawcross said.
The others must be with him somewhere.
Nick grinned. That's right, you arrogant fool. That's what I want you to think. Keep looking forward while a speeding truck comes up behind you. He had to keep them distracted.
Hey, Dash! When I'm through with you this time, you'll stay dead!
Dash sucked his teeth, the sound cutting through the air.
Come on down then, hard man. Let's see what you got.
Nick laughed.
While I'm outnumbered? Don't think so. When I take you down, it's going to be just you and me.
What do you mean, outnumbered?
Shawcross asked. Nick bit on his fist.
Shit! I think I just blew it.
There was a moment of silence and then Shawcross started shouting.
He's not with the others. He's just distracting us. Come on, back to the restaurant.
Nick had to do something, had to make up for his mistake. He shot out from behind the support pillar and scrambled back towards the queue barricade. He hopped over it mid-run and made a beeline for Shawcross. Dash was standing right beside him and so was Alan. The mystery of whether or not Michelle was with them was also solved. She most certainly was.
Stupid cow.
Michelle saw Nick running at them and shouted out a warning to her cohorts. Alan leapt out to block him, but Nick was having none of it. He swung his rifle like a bat and clubbed Alan around the top of the head. The older man staggered backwards and hit the ground in a daze. One down. Before Nick had time to prepare his next swing, Dash smacked him around the head with a shovel. Everything went black for a moment, and then he found himself on the floor, staring up at the stars. Dash loomed into view, looking down on him.
I'm not impressed, Blood. I thought you was going to take me out.
Nick turned his head to the side and spat a mouthful of blood onto the ground. He felt a tooth come loose.
If not in this life, then the next. I promise you that, Blood.
Dash laughed and raised the shovel up above Nick's neck, ready to take his head off. Nick closed his eyes and waited.
Get it over with, Shawcross said. Kill him!
Dash nodded and then looked down at Nick with a smirk on his face.
Say night-night, honky.
Thump. Dash staggered sideways and tripped over Nick's prone body. Just when he had expected to feel the bite of the sharp edge of the shovel, something had happened. Something had stopped Dash from delivering his killing blow.
Somebody saved me?
Nick sat up in a daze to find Jan holding out a hand to him.
Get up, brother. Looks like you're having a party, but no one invited me to dance.
Nick took Jan's hand and leapt to his feet. He was dizzy from the blow to the head, but he was ready for a fight.
Bring it the fuck on.
Dash scrambled to his feet. There was a screwdriver sticking out of his left arm, and he had dropped the shovel to the ground.
Are my eyes deceiving me? Jan asked. Or is that ugly one-eyed motherfucker Dash?
It's him, said Nick. He survived the fall.
Survived? So I could take you gangsters out,
Dash said, making a grab for the shovel. Nick tried to stop him, but was too late. Dash picked up the weapon and raised it over his head. He didn't come at them, though. Instead, he made a run for it, heading straight past Shawcross and into the shadows. Alan had gotten up off the floor, too, and was backed up against Shawcross and Michelle. The three of them stood together in a triangle, clutching weapons, shovels, spades, and pitchforks, as they waited for Nick and Jan to attack them. Nick picked up his replica rifle from the floor, but didn't point it at them. Instead, he held up his hand.
Just give it up, guys. It's over.
Nothing is over, said Shawcross. There are three of us, and only two of you.
Maybe, said Nick, his words slightly slurred as his mouth started to swell. But I think Jan counts as two, so we're evenly matched. No one else needs to get hurt here. I beg to differ. Give up now while you still have the chance. We outnumber you.
Actually, you don't, said Annalisa, coming up from the direction of the restaurant. Pauline, Cassie and Eve were with her, and so was Renee. They all carried weapons and were clearly ready to use them.
I think you'll find that you're the ones who are outnumbered, and after the day I've had, I'm quite happy to kill you all on the spot.
That's right, said Nick. I don't think the Geneva Convention exists anymore,
so if you want to be treated like human beings, I suggest that you put down your weapons and start behaving like one."
There was a standoff for a moment, the air tense and vibrating. Then Michelle and Alan threw down their weapons and put their hands above their head. Shawcross, however, kept a firm grip on his pitchfork.
"Give it up, Shawcross," Annalisa said. "Michelle, Alan, grab a hold of him, will you?"
Michelle and Alan turned around anxiously and looked at their former leader.
"Come on, mate," said Alan, reaching for the pitchfork. "Just give up."
"Get off me," Shawcross growled.
He shoved the pitchfork at Alan and buried it in his belly. Nick's mouth opened, but no words came out. Alan rocked backwards, clutching his torso as it began to bleed. Michelle screamed as her friend's bodily fluid spurted out onto the pavement. She reached for the pitchfork and yanked it free, but that only seemed to make the bleeding worse. Alan fell down onto his side and let out a gurgling moan. Shawcross took off like a lightning bolt, taking advantage of the chaos he had caused. Nick gave chase, along with Jan and Renee. Annalisa and the others stayed put, tended to Alan.
"We can't let that weasel get away."
Shawcross headed off towards the front of the park. Nick did his best to keep up. The wishy-washy feeling inside his skull prevented him from running full speed, and Jan, being the size he wasn't the greatest sprinter. If they were not careful, they were going to lose Shawcross into the night.
"Then there'll be no hope of catching him."
"Bleed us fast," said Jan, sweating despite the cold.
"You're telling me. Probably because he's been eating better than all the rest of us."
"He's probably been controlling the supplies and rations secretly for months." They chased Shawcross around the front of the park's office block and past the open doors of the warehouse. Beyond was Ripley Hall.
"He's heading for the house," said Nick.
"Isn't it full of infected?"
Nick slowed down.
"Yeah, it is. Who knows what he's up to?"
Jan slowed down to a jog and then a lolloping walk.
"He's got no place else to go then. Let's not corner him into doing anything stupid."
Nick didn't like increasing Shawcross's chances of running away, but he was too out of breath to keep running so fast anyway. Against his better judgment, he allowed himself to slow down.
"Where were you anyway, man?" Nick asked Jan. "You saved my arse back there in the nick of time."
"A man spends long enough in a prison, he starts to appreciate solitude. I was just walking in the woods, enjoying the quiet."
"I understand what you mean," said Renee.
Jan looked at his fellow prisoner, dumbfounded.
You talk?"
Renee shrugged as if it was nothing.
"Long story," said Nick. "I'll fill you in later."
"Fair enough."
Shawcross was out of breath too, and had slowed down to a panicked stagger. In front of him was the dark spectre of Ripley Hall.
"What are we going to do with him if we catch him?" Jan asked.
"When we catch him," Nick said. "And I don't know. I'll figure it out once we have him."
They entered onto the lawns of the grand old house and stuck close to the rows of trees that towered over the lawns. Shawcross kept glancing back over his shoulder at them, but made no effort to increase his speed. He seemed broken and unable to run from them any faster. Nick cupped his hands around his mouth and shouted,
"It's over, Shawcross! You're done!"
Shawcross turned around to face them. He was panting heavily.
It would appear so, wouldn't it?"
"No one else needs to get hurt, buddy," Jan said. "Just surrender."
Shawcross shook his head and gave them an icy stare.
"You really think I'm stupid enough to do that? You'd just kill me. You have no choice after what I've done."
"No more killing," said Nick.
"Then what? What do you plan to do with me?"
Nick was silent. He had no answer. Shawcross nodded slowly.
"Exactly."
He took a step backwards towards the house. Then he took another.
"What are you doing?" Nick asked. "Get away from there!" "I've looked after this house like it was my own for 10 years. Did you know that?"
Nick shook his head. He quickened his steps, hoping to get close enough to grab Shawcross without him making a bolt for it. There was some distance to close before that could happen, though. They still had to shout to be heard.
I was in charge of a piece of history. Lords have lived here, cousins to kings and queens. Powerful men with royal blood running through their veins. My job was to walk in their footsteps and respect their past.
Where are you going with this, Shawcross? What's your point?
My point is that you all fucked it up. You brought death to Ripley Hall. You tarnished its legacy, and now you scuttle around like rodents, disrespecting the history of where you are, disrespecting my position as guardian of this place. I was in charge here, and you knocked me down, you violated me, and you reduced me to your level. You took away my integrity and the integrity of this place. You have no respect for anything.
It's just a house and a shitty amusement park, Shawcross. A cash cow. The integrity of this place was lost long before we arrived here.
Shawcross took several more steps backwards. He moved up onto the front steps of Ripley Hall.
Hold your tongue, for you know not the nonsense you speak.
Nick put his hand up and increased his pace to a jog. Renee and Jan kept close behind him.
Hey man, get away from there and stop acting crazy. The whole place is full of infected people.
Shawcross shrugged. His eyes were droopy and tired. He looked like a madman and spoke in a faraway, dreamy tone.
It is full of my guests, and I will be grateful if you refer to them as such. I should go tend to them, make sure things are in order. Heaven knows what state the house will be in. It's time to clean up.
Shawcross turned around and headed up the final few steps to the house. He stood in front of the doors. Nick ran as fast as he could, closing the distance, hoping to get there before...
Shawcross! Just get back from there, please!
But Shawcross did not turn around.
Do you know what I think, Nicholas?
No,
said Nick, skidding on his heels and stopping feet away from the front doors to the house. He now walked slowly, his hand out in front of him. He did not want to make any sudden moves.
No, Shawcross, I don't know what you think,
but we can talk about it.
Shawcross shook his head and smiled. He was no longer listening or even looking at them. He was talking to himself.
What I think is that we are all fucked. And if that's the case, I think I'd like to be with my house. It's where I belong. I'm the manager, you see. Ripley Hall needs its manager.
Shawcross turned around, inserted his keys, and opened the doors.
No!
Nick shouted, sprinting forward to stop the man, even though it was already too late. The dead flooded out, like pus from a wound. They sprawled on top of Shawcross, pinning him to the ground beneath a pile of bodies three deep. His flesh was mercilessly torn away by a dozen hungry mouths, but Nick did not hear the man scream. Shawcross remained silent as they tore him to pieces, but the look in his eyes was one of sheer terror. It looked like he was afraid of whatever came next.
Hell would be too good for you, Nick thought, before Jan grabbed at his collar and shouted, Run!
Chapter 41 He's dead, Annalisa said to Michelle. I'm sorry. Alan had bled out pretty quickly. Annalisa suspected that his celiac artery had been severed. Michelle was distraught.
Help me get her up, Annalisa said to Pauline. We need to go help Nick. Who knows what Shawcross will try next?
Pauline grabbed one of Michelle's arms, while Annalisa grabbed the other. Eve and Cassie stood nearby.
Just leave me with him, Michelle begged.
No, we're going to look after you, Michelle.
She and Pauline half-dragged, half-carried Michelle along as they headed away from the roller coaster and back towards the restaurant. They could decide how to clean up the mess they were all in later.
If that's even possible.
There were noises coming from somewhere in the park. The sounds were familiar.
What is that? Eve asked.
I know what it is, said Cassie.
She sounded close to tears and was clutching her knife close to her chest like a talisman.
I know what it is.
2 seconds later, Annalisa made sense of it too. It was the moans of the undead.
The infected are here,
Eve said, terror in her eyes.
No, said Cassie. The infected scream. The dead moan.
Who gives a shit? Said Eve. If they're here, then we're screwed.
Annalisa struggled to hold on to Michelle, who had fallen into a catatonic state of shock.
Not necessarily, she said. The dead are slow. We might be able to cope with them as long as there's not too many. We need to find Nick, said Eve. He might be in trouble.
Annalisa nodded and reaffirmed her grip on Michelle. Pauline did the same on the other side.
Okay, let's get a move on then.
They all headed on over to the restaurant, calling out for Nick and Jan along the way. But they found neither and continued onwards, hoping to find them somewhere in the park. The moans of the dead continued in the distance.
They sound closer, Cassie said.
Annalisa nodded. They did sound closer. The dead were obviously on the move in their direction. She lifted her chin and angled in on where she thought the moaning was coming from. She'd already suspected the source, but now she was more or less certain. It's coming from the house, she said. Somebody's let them out of Ripley Hall.
Shawcross,
Eve said, almost spitting the word out of her mouth. Probably, Annalisa said. He's crazy enough. Up ahead was the park's office building and the warehouse beside it. The doors to the warehouse were wide open and sounds came from inside.
Is that one of them? Pauline asked.
Annalisa wasn't sure. It could have been Nick inside, shuffling about, so she called out for him. There was no answer, but the noises from inside the warehouse abruptly stopped. Bradley's truck was parked right in front and prevented Annalisa from getting a clear view inside. Hold on to Michelle, she told Eve, then headed around the truck and towards the warehouse. The first thing she noticed was that the crates of fireworks and some of the petrol had been moved to the front of the storage building by the entrance. The second thing she noticed was
Dash!
Dash was bleeding from his left arm, and the stains on his tracksuit looked black in the moonlight. The half-healed wound of his blinded eye glistened in the dark.
Hey, baby,
he said.
You's just in time for the show.
Annalisa stared down at the fireworks and then back up at Dash.
What are you doing? She said. Just come out of there.
No can do, sweetheart. You fuckers blind me and then stab me in my arm. There's gonna be payback.
Dash pulled a lighter from his pocket and flicked it. The flame seemed to hang in the air, flickering in the darkness and lighting up the shadows in a vibrating cone of light.
You light those fireworks and every monster at the bottom of this hill is going to start making its way towards us. They'll come from miles around.
Dash grinned at her.
That's the idea. If I can't have this place, then neither can you.
Dash dropped the lighter. Annalisa stood in stunned silence as split seconds seemed to pass like minutes. Eve and Pauline screamed from somewhere behind her. The lit flame tumbled through the air, landing inside one of the crates. There were a couple of seconds where nothing happened. Then all hell broke loose. Dash dived down onto the floor just as the first firework exploded. A split second later, 100 more went off, some flying upwards and lighting up the starry sky, and others whizzing around the warehouse like flies in a jar. Beneath the sounds of exploding gunpowder and igniting petrol, Dash cackled like a hyena. He sounded ready to die, so long as he took others with him. Without realizing it, Annalisa had hit the ground. Now she lay face down on the floor, her nose mere inches from the pavement. She daren't move. After what seemed like forever, the final fireworks hit the sky and fizzled out. Then there was near silence, but for the soft crackling of flames that began to take hold of the warehouse. Annalisa was shaking, her stomach hot, her heart aching. She waited for the inevitable. Hungry moans filled the air, not just from Ripley Hall, but from what seemed like everywhere. The collective sound carried on the wind from miles around, from all directions. The dead were coming. All of them. Annalisa leapt to her feet and spun in a circle. Pauline and Eve were climbing back off the floor as well. Michelle remained slumped in a fetal position on the ground. Dash made a run for it. Annalisa headed straight after him. With the loss of blood and the reduced vision, Dash was easy prey. She clattered into him from behind and took him painfully to the ground. She grabbed a hold of his injured arm and made him scream in agony, but he managed to surprise her by striking back with his elbow and catching her in the eye socket. The blow rocked her, and Dash used the opportunity to transition off his back and climb on top of her. He smashed her in the mouth with his fist.
"Told you I was going to get you, bitch!"
He hit her again, splitting her lip from corner to corner. The blood in her mouth was hot and sweet. Dash raised his fist again, ready to break her face.
"Get off her, you son of a bitch!"
Cassie screamed. Dash turned his head just in time to see the knife coming. It went in under his chin and slid up into his skull. He was dead before he could even make a sound. Annalisa kicked Dash off her and watched him slump onto his side. Cassie had left the knife embedded in his jaw and didn't seem to want it back.
"Are you okay?" Annalisa asked her.
Cassie was trembling, her arms shaking in great tremors. Annalisa got up and put an arm around her, tried to console her, but was quickly pushed away.
I killed him," she said,
almost as if she couldn't believe it. "It was him or me, Cassie, and I'm glad you chose me."
"We all are," Eve added. "You did nothing wrong."
Cassie shook her head and sobbed.
I stabbed him in the face."
She bent over and vomited, but before anyone had time to get close enough to help her, she straightened back up and suddenly ran away.
"Cassie, come back!"
Annalisa shouted. She went to give chase, but Pauline stopped her by grabbing a hold of her arm. She was about to argue and shrug herself free, but then she saw why Pauline had stopped her. Eve shouted a warning.
"Cassie, look out!"
In all her despair, Cassie had run headlong into an approaching group of the dead. They fell over her like a moving wall, their rancid, sticky bodies moving shoulder to shoulder. When Cassie collided with a tall brunette woman who was stumbling along on a broken red stiletto, she fell to the ground and screamed. The dead woman fell on her immediately, biting into her face like a cantaloupe. Blood spurted into the air as Cassie's nose was chewed right off her face. Annalisa couldn't help herself. She started forwards to help the girl. This time, both Pauline and Eve grabbed a hold of her.
"She's already dead," said Eve. "You know that. We have to get out of here."
Annalisa closed her eyes as the dead continued ripping Cassie apart. She gave her fear one more moment to take hold and then shook it away. She opened her eyes and took a breath.
"Okay," she said resolutely. "Let's get our asses off this bloody hill while there's still a chance."
Eve gawped at her.
"What? How?"
Annalisa reached into her pocket and pulled out Bradley's keys. She pointed in front of her.
"We take that truck," she said, "and drive over anything that gets in our way."
The dead were currently occupied with Cassie's half-eaten corpse, but there were more coming from the direction of the house. They would have to move fast.
"Pick up Michelle. We have to go now."
The three of them grabbed Michelle and attempted to carry her. Pauline and Eve held the girl's legs while Annalisa grasped her body. They waddled sideways as they sought to get her over to the truck.
"Dump her in the back," Annalisa said. "We don't have time to make her comfortable."
There was no argument, and the three of them hoisted Michelle up and over the side of the vehicle's cargo shelf. She flopped onto the wooden paneling and just lay there, staring off into space. Annalisa hurried around to the driver's side door and put the key in the lock. The central locking engaged and the doors were unlocked.
"Eve, Pauline, squeeze in the passenger side."
The two women did as they were told and Annalisa started the engine. The moment the vehicle came to life, she instantly felt safer. The thought of being on the road after being cooped up on this hill for so long felt exhilarating. She reversed the truck and pulled it around to face the other way.
Thank God the battery didn't run flat.
The dead from the house were coming in their droves now, and Annalisa could already hear more of them coming up the hill from the distant car park below. Soon they would be surrounded.
"What about Nick and the others?" Eve said. "We can't leave without them."
"They're already dead," said Pauline. "They have to be," said Annalisa. But then she saw them.
"Jesus," said Eve. Is that Jan?
Up ahead, surrounded on all sides by the dead, Jan fought for his life. He battled the dead bare-fisted, clocking them with right hooks and snapping the necks of any that got too close. Fighting side by side with him were Nick and Renee. All three of them were unarmed and desperately trying to survive.
They're going to get ripped apart, said Pauline.
Annalisa gunned the engine and shifted into gear.
Not if I can help it.
The truck shot forward, accelerating quicker than she expected. She steered the bonnet towards the thick lines of the dead and sped up as much as she could. The first body she hit went clean over the bonnet and landed behind them. Blood spattered the windscreen, which somehow had remained intact. The second body went down rather than up, falling beneath the big wheels of the utility truck. Annalisa stamped on the brake and turned the wheel sideways, sending the vehicle into a skid. More bodies went down as the truck slid along like a plough. The windscreen finally cracked, and glass shards fell onto the bonnet. The truck came to a stop. The dead were all around. Annalisa rolled down her side window and screamed through the one-inch gap.
Nick! Jan! Renee!
In the distance, amid the shadows of rotting bodies, the three men turned around. They saw the truck and seemed relieved by its presence. Immediately, the three of them started making their way towards it. They pushed and punched at the dead, dodging their grasps and avoiding their bites. The truck was their salvation, and they were so near. But there were just too many of the dead. Their reaching, clawing hands made a net impossible to escape. Annalisa watched in horror, praying for her friends to make it, but there seemed to be no way. A dead waiter knocked Jan sideways with an elbow, which led to the man losing his footing. His ankle twisted and he fell down to one knee. It was all it took for the dead to take him. Probing hands dragged Jan to the floor and wrestled him into submission. He kicked out and caught a dead man in the chin, managed to snap the neck of another that knelt down beside him. But as soon as one body fell away, two others joined it. He could not fight them all. Nick saw that the big man was down and stopped his journey towards the truck.
Jan!
He shouted out, trying to push his way through the dead. Rene fought to help too, but the dead were all over them. Jan disappeared under a blanket of bodies and then was gone from sight. His angry shouting was the last thing they would know of him. Annalisa shouted through the window,
Nick! Renee! Come on! Come on!
Nick shook his head in despair at the loss of Jan, but he seemed to find the resolve he needed to continue. He and Renee made a last-ditch effort to get to the truck.
Come on, guys! You can make it!
Just as Nick and Renee were getting close, a scream startled everyone inside the truck. Annalisa craned her neck and saw through the rear window that Michelle had snapped out of her daze and was now standing up and screaming hysterically at the dead all around her. As soon as they spotted her, they turned and headed for the truck.
Damn it, said Eve. They're coming this way.
The first of the dead reached into the truck and grabbed at Michelle's ankles. Annalisa watched powerless as she was dragged kicking and screaming into the crowd. She disappeared so fast that it was as if she were sinking into a sea. One minute she was there, the next she was just another part of the ever-moving mob. Nick and Renee made it to the truck, slumping up against its side with exhaustion.
In the back! Annalisa shouted to them. Get in the back!
The truck bounced on its suspension as the two men leapt onto the cargo shelf. The dead clawed at them, trying to drag them back out again.
Time to go!
Annalisa stepped on the accelerator. The truck bolted forward. Stalled. A body leapt onto the bonnet and thumped at the broken windscreen. Annalisa cursed out loud and got the engine back in gear. She tried to pull off again and was relieved when the vehicle shot forward and picked up speed.
Glad I still know how to drive.
More bodies fell under the wheels and the truck whined unhappily under the additional stress. It was never designed to drive over bodies.
Where do we go? Eve asked. They're everywhere.
The dead were indeed everywhere, and that was just the ones from the house. When the ones from the bottom of the hill arrived, there would be zero chance of escape.
We need to head for the access road just past the house, Annalisa told her passengers. It leads down the hill and into the towns.
It's how the staff and delivery drivers used to come and go.
Eve took a breath and nodded. Annalisa could feel the younger woman shaking beside her. In the rearview mirror, she could see Nick and Rene fighting to hold on. Despite not wanting to, she slowed down. She didn't want to lose the two men off the back.
Wait, said Eve.
Annalisa turned to her.
What? What is it?
We need supplies, or we won't last the week.
We have to go. We have no choice.
What if we can't find food or water?
Something occurred to Annalisa, something that made her point the truck towards the woods. Hold on, she said. I know where we can get supplies, but we'll have to be quick. She took the truck off into the tree line at the edge of the park. It was hard work steering the truck through the woods in the dark, but there was no choice to drive slowly. She knew the dead would be everywhere within the hour. Eve was right, though. They needed supplies if they had any chance of surviving on the road. She had to concentrate hard to try and remember the way she had come when she'd fled the greenhouse. When the truck broke through the trees and entered into the open area of the crop field, she knew her memory had served her correctly.
We might just do this.
Something jumped out in front of the truck, and Annalisa turned sharply to avoid it. The tires skidded in the muddy ruts and came to a violent stop.
What the hell was that? Eve asked.
I don't know, said Annalisa, peering out of her side window. There was somebody in the road, but I can't see anything.
A man jumped up against the glass.
It's one of them, Pauline cried.
Annalisa stared out of the window and felt her heart turn to stone. She recognized the man outside.
It's Mike,
she said, feeling sick to her tummy. Everyone in the truck was silent. They had all liked Mike.
Oh, thank God! Anna!
Annalisa's eyes went wide and her breath caught in her lungs. She stared at Mike with disbelief.
You're alive?
Mike nodded.
Of course I am. I could use a doctor, though, or maybe a good vet. Do you know any?
Annalisa opened up her door and fell out on top of him, wrapping her arms tightly around his waist.
I thought you were one of them.
Mike winced.
Ow, ow, easy.
Annalisa backed away and looked down at Mike's stomach wound.
How did you?
Mike pulled up his shirt to show a layer of blood-soaked magazines. He still got me pretty good, but the armor took most of the damage. That guy who jumped us gave me a right beating before he left, though. It wasn't until I saw the fireworks that I even found the strength to move or even know where to go. I take it the dead are coming. She nodded. Mike looked an absolute mess, but should be all right with rest. Get in the back with Nick and Rene, she said. We're getting supplies and then getting the hell out of here. Mike headed around to the back of the truck and the other men helped him up. Annalisa hopped back in the driver's seat and got them all moving again. The greenhouse would be just up ahead.
Chapter 42. The truck pulled into an area Nick didn't recognize. There was a large rectangular greenhouse in the center of the clearing, and rows of planters either side of it. Even from outside, he could see the glass building was piled high with supplies. The truck stopped, and Annalisa got out.
Okay, everyone, she said. Grab as much as you can, as quickly as you can. Who knows when we'll have a chance to get more?
They all hopped out the truck and got to work. Nick went into the greenhouse before Annalisa, and together the entire group formed a line, passing out boxes and moving them down towards the flatbed. There were plenty of bottled soft drinks and water, along with bags and bags of dried seeds and nuts meant for the animals. What they didn't have much of was time. Nick had least of all. Seconds ticking away. Within 10 minutes, the back of the truck was fully loaded with supplies, and there were several more boxes on the front seats ready to go on passengers' laps. Nick stood beside the truck and waited for everybody to gather. All of them now had weapons again, various gardening implements they had found in the greenhouse. He himself had armed up with a shovel. Not that he needed it.
Okay, Annalisa said, opening up the driver's side door and readying herself to get in. This is it. Time to go see what's left of the world. I can't say we have much chance of making it, but we're going to do our best.
The people in front of me right now are the people I'm glad are here, the people I trust. No matter what happens, I just want to thank you all for reminding me what family is.
Everybody stood in silence and seemed to think about that. In some perverted way, they were all family.
I'm going to miss them.
Nick took the opportunity to say goodbye. He cleared his throat and moved to the center of the group.
I just want to thank you all as well, he said. You gave me something to live for after everything else I had was gone.
He looked at Eve. You especially, Eve. If I hadn't met you, I probably would have given up before the first night was through.
My son would have liked you.
He chuckled.
My wife? Not so much.
Eve laughed. Come on, that's enough sappiness for one day. We have to get going.
Not me, said Nick.
Eve frowned at him.
What are you talking about?
I just can't go with you.
Why not?
Renee came and stood in front of Nick and looked him in the eye suspiciously. Something obviously dawned on the other man because his eyebrows went high on his forehead.
He is bitten.
No, he isn't, Eve said, rolling her eyes and scoffing.
Nick rolled up the sleeve of his woolen jacket and revealed the ragged bite wound on his wrist. They got me back at the house, just before we lost Jan.
Renee looked down at the ground for a moment, and then back up at Nick. He had tears in his eyes.
I am sorry, my friend.
Nick sighed.
Yeah, me too.
Eve started crying too. She went up to Nick and hugged him tightly.
I don't think I can leave without you.
Nick hugged her back. Yes, you can. You have no choice. You're a survivor, Eve. That's why you're still here. You just keep on surviving, okay?
Eve backed away from him and nodded. She was clearly trying to hold herself together. Her lips were pursed tightly together as she fought away her emotions. Nick took off his woolen jacket and wrapped it around her shoulders.
You take this, he said. It's going to get cold soon.
Eve smiled at him, despite the tears rolling down her cheeks.
It smells like you.
Nick waved a hand. Now go on, get out of here,
before I try to eat you all.
Teary-eyed, but knowing what must be done, everyone started climbing back into the truck. Nick took the time to say his goodbyes to Anna.
Sorry it went down this way, she said to him.
Me too. But somebody has to stay behind to let the animals free anyway. Can't leave them caged up to starve to death, can we?
Annalisa smiled.
I feel better knowing they'll be free.
Thank you.
You just look after everyone, you hear me?
Annalisa snapped off a salute.
I promise.
Then she got into the truck and started the engine. Nick turned around to look for Pauline. He couldn't let her leave without saying goodbye. She and Eve had been with him since the beginning. He spotted her over at the edge of the woods, pulling up some carrots from a plot and dumping them into a sack. Nick saw the danger before she did. But it was too late. Two dead men came out of the bushes and grabbed Pauline by her arms. The one on her left took a deep bite from her neck.
No!
Nick sprinted towards her, holding up the shovel he had armed himself with. He reached the edge of the clearing and smashed the shovel against the two dead men's skulls, one after the other. Both of them fell to the ground, dead. Pauline fell to the floor beside them. Blood pumped from her neck and soaked the grass. Her eyes were still open and staring at Nick.
I'm sorry, he said.
She smiled and then went still. Nick was glad it was the expression she died with.
I'm sorry I didn't turn around faster.
Nick looked back at the truck. The others were all staring in horror. He waved a hand at them.
Go! Get out of here! He shouted. More will be coming and you won't get another chance to leave!
They all stared sadly for a moment, but then Annalisa faced front and got the truck moving. She took it slowly at first, but eventually sped up and headed into the woods. Nick sat down on the grass and watched the truck disappear into the trees. He really was going to miss them all, but he wouldn't trade things for the world. Soon he would be back with his wife and son. He lay back on the grass, looked up at the stars, and wondered what heaven would be like, and if he would ever get there. Epilogue. Nick had needed to work fast to get all of the animals free in time. A moment longer and the dead would have swarmed over him, having finally made their way from the grounds around Ripley Hall. The various animals had run wild as soon as he'd let them loose. The dead just ignored them. It was as if anything other than a human being was invisible to them. Hopefully the animals would find a way to survive. The world was now free of men hunting them and using them for food. Maybe, if anything, the world would at least be better for the animals. Once he had finished opening up all the enclosures, Nick had climbed up onto the roof of the orangutan exhibit. The zoo now teemed with the dead, and the rooftop was one of the only safe places left. Now he just sat peacefully, watching the dead wander about aimlessly, while he waited for the end. Nick could already feel himself changing. A deep exhaustion had fallen over him, and his vision had taken on an unnatural orange tint, almost like he was seeing everything through a sepia filter. His internal organs felt heavy, like all movement inside of him had ground to a halt. He felt as though he was dead already, but that his mind was just a little slow in catching on. Above all else, however, he felt at peace. He could finally stop running, stop fighting, stop surviving. Really, his life had ended the moment his son had died. Now he could finally move on to whatever fate had lined up for him next.
Thud.
Nick turned around. He did not flinch or even worry. Nothing could frighten him anymore. Fear only existed with the possibility of loss. He had already lost all he could. Sitting on the roof behind him was Lily. She had leapt from a nearby tree. She hooted at him as she shuffled nearer. Nick saw that she held a carrot in her hand. It looked suspiciously like the ones he had seen at the greenhouse. Lily reached out and offered the vegetable. Nick laughed, but shook his head.
No, thanks. It would just be wasted on me.
You eat it, Lily. As if understanding, Lily sat down beside him and took a hefty bite out of the carrot. Nick reached over and patted her fur.
You can't stay here for long, Lily. I'm sick, and eventually I'll become dangerous. I think you understand that. For now, though, I'm glad you're here. I hope you make it out of this mess better than me.
There was silence for a while, and Nick stared off into the distance. The sun was beginning to rise above the horizon like a ball on a string. It was his last morning on Earth, and he was feeling pretty damn good. The very notion was absurd, but it was true.
You think they'll be okay out there? He asked Lily. He was thinking about Eve and the others.
Their chance of finding safety seemed pretty slim, but at least there was a chance. He could still hope for them.
You think they'll keep on surviving?
Lily hooted.
Yeah.
Nick nodded and smiled. That's what I think, too. With a smile on his face, Nick lay back and watched the sun rise. A few minutes later, he rose with it.
This has been Ravage, written by Ian Rob Wright, narrated by Nigel Patterson. Copyright 2013 by Ian Rob Wright. Production copyright 2014 by Ian Rob Wright.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.